It is Tuesday night. It is 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and you're listening to the Ooze Luminous Edition with your hosts Jason Sorrell and Rodden Biohazard. Rodden, what's going on tonight, man?
Not much, man. What's going on with you?
Doing good. Getting ready for the 12-year-old, my middle daughter, to be here tomorrow. All excited about it. When she comes down, she comes out twice a year, I get all anxious on the last day that she's coming down. I'm kind of, you know, all wired and stuff, you know, making sure that, you know, we're ready and there really is nothing left to do. So I'm just kind of a ball of frantic energy, basically. But all pumped up about the having all the kids together again for a week.
Very nice,
and,
man.
What's that?
Very nice, man. Should be fun.
Yeah. So, yeah, it should be a good time. And we got people in the chat room. That's awesome. You got some weather going on up there. Is that right?
Yeah, about to get a nice little storm this way, apparently, from what the weather is saying.
So if we're experiencing a little distortion on my end, he sounds a little distorted. If we're experiencing a little distortion in the chat room, let us know. I don't know if we can do a damn thing about it, but, you know, at least you know what's going on, that it's a little hairy up north and it might be messing with this signal. So tonight we're going to be talking – yeah, there's the other talking about the chat room already. So tonight we're going to be talking about tattoos, tattoo artwork, tattoo stories. We're going to try to just kind of hang out and talk about tattoos. I'm a tattoo artist, for those who don't know. I do some tattoo work. You can check out my artwork on, you know, different places. The Creative Body Studios website's one place, and I'm going to be putting a link or two in the chat room for people who want to check out different things in regards to my career as a tattoo artist. The link I just posted is it's Jason's distortedbrainwave.blogspot.com. And there you'll see kind of the crazy stories of just weird stuff I've run into as a tattoo artist. There's, you know, pictures from a prostitute who tried to solicit my a trade for my work, for her work, which just doesn't really translate, in my opinion. That was a pretty funny story. Rednecks who want tattoos, people don't understand what it means to set an appointment. People who think that I do my work for free, basically, that kind of thing. So all kinds of cool stories there. We'll be touching on some of that stuff, I'm sure, tonight. And then this next link I'm about to post here, if I can get to it. Hang on a second. The next link I'm about to post, I have another tattoo blog where I actually talk about tattooing, you know, being a tattoo artist, what's involved in, you know, aftercare of a tattoo, what to look for as far as tattoo studios and tattoo artists, tattoo artwork. So that blog is, it's sorrellsubdermal@blogspot.com. So check those out while we're doing the show. And Rodden, you've got some tattoos, right?
Actually, no, man, not yet, actually. Been looking for a good artist.
Not yet. Okay, so you're shopping. So the sorrellsubdermal.blogspot.com, that could help you out with trying to figure out, you know, what to look for in a studio and what to look for in a tattoo artist and even what to look for in tattoo design. So it's just just a lot of cool information. And I've actually started pointing my customers to this. I need to create a short version of the tattoo aftercare blog. I've got this really long article that talks about the specifics about tattoo aftercare, different options, why you do certain things, how long it actually takes a tattoo to heal and stuff like that. And it goes into a lot of detail, and I need to put a little short blog that's just, you know, the aftercare instructions that I give folks that get tattoos from me. Let's talk about tattoos. So you're thinking about getting some work?
Yeah, actually, I was thinking about quite a few things, actually. I'm looking at both sleeves, more than likely, probably part of my upper chest.
Okay. And do you know what it is, like, as far as designs, what you're thinking about is that you'd want to get?
Yeah, actually, I was looking at one of my arms being more cartoonish, wanted to have more along the lines of computer design, things like that. Kind of wanted to have part of the arm be like this monkey thing in front of a computer freaking the fuck out because it wasn't working properly.
Oh, right on, right on. So you got a plan, so it's just a matter of finding an artist and finding a shop.
Exactly.
That's a long ways from a lot of the people that I deal with.
Yeah, they already have, like, the design in mind. So that's, you know, half the battle right fucking there, you know?
Right on, right on. So,
and
yeah,
of course,
yeah.
One thing, two things to look for is, of course, they have gloves in the place, so they also have the machines to actually test their equipment once it's washed, to make sure the microbes are still on the equipment, shit like that.
Yeah, yeah, that's, you know, sterilization's important. We're getting a lot of talk here in the chat room about how they're having trouble understanding you, and I know I'm having some trouble too. It's one person suggesting that you try calling back in. I don't know if it's going to do you any good though. Again, it's a weather issue up north that he's running into, so the signal's just going to kind of be rough. You want to
try
calling
call back in now? Yeah, let me try calling.
Okay,
back.
Okay. So,
okay, one second.
You're going to try calling. Okay, so we're going to have Rotten try calling back in. If somebody wants to call in, 347-989-1371. Again, we're talking about tattoos. If you got tattoo questions, got a tattoo story, got things you want to kind of discuss in regards to tattoos, that's what we're going to be talking about for the next hour or so. The last link I dropped in the chat room was to a page of just fucked up tattoos I found on the internet, with the craziest one being, in my opinion, there's a tattoo. Some chick, she got a sentence here. It says, "My name is Kelly." She has it tattooed upside down on her neck so that if you're looking at her head from, you know, from above her, you can see her name's Kelly. And then she has one right above her tramp stamp. I'm not sure if it's an actual tattoo or what the if it's something fake, but I find it hilarious. So check that out. I've seen all kinds of fucked up tattoos. I've had people request all kinds of fucked up tattoos. And what you got to do as a tattoo artist, as a businessman, I mean, the bottom line is, I mean, you can do all you can to suggest they not get that, to give them different ideas, to maybe try to talk them out of, you know, especially, and this is the main thing I find myself trying to talk people out of is getting somebody else's name tattooed on them, you know, a boyfriend or girlfriend's name. So, you know, when these people come in to talk about, you know, especially, you know, working in a shop or whatever, somebody comes in and says, we're getting our names tattooed on one another. Usually the folks that know tattoos know that that relationship has about 6 months left to go. And all you can really do is say to them, okay, you know, it might not be a good idea. Are you sure you want to go through with this? And if they say yes, well, then it's just, you know, you're going to make your money twice because they're going to come back in for a cover-up later. So, Rotten, you're back on the line, man. How's it sound?
You tell me, how's it sound?
That sounds a lot better. It sounds a lot clearer. We'll see what the what people say in the chat room, but you sound a lot clearer on my end. So,
indeed, I think we
yeah.
both know, man. Okay, I caught, you know, the tail end of what you were saying about 6 months tattoos. That's basically, you know, the kiss of death, as it were. Do you know that
right.
those dumb fucks are going to have to actually find people with the exact same name? Otherwise, you're screwed. Dude,
now
I actually knew a chick.
Go
I
ahead.
Knew a chick who only dated guys with a particular name because you already had the tattoo.
Now, I've seen some pretty creative ways to deal with the mistake of getting somebody's name tattooed on them. Usually it's just a cover-up, and chicks are really good about getting a cover-up. A guy will keep the name on him forever. The chicks, they want it covered up pretty fast, so flowers and everything else. But I've seen some guys, they cross the name out. They have the name changed in something else. I think the most famous name there is the Johnny Depp tattoo where he had the name Winona changed into Wino. Stuff like that. But I heard about some dudes that got their wives, they went out together, and they got their wives' portraits tattooed on them.
Oh.
Okay. All right. And when the relationships went south, well, what they did is they went back to the tattoo artists and just had them basically zombied out. Okay. Bullets in their heads, cleavers in their heads, you know, just all, you know, fucked up the whole thing. So, that I thought was a kind of cool way to deal with the bad tattoo relationship. So
the portraits themselves can just turn out absolutely hideous. I've seen portraits that looked like you know, a 5-year-old basically did them. I don't see how you could fuck up so badly.
And you know what's bad? I mean, it's real easy to mess up a portrait. And portraits are difficult. Drawing a person's face is difficult. And if you don't have the experience, with doing portraits, then you're going to be in trouble. And you can mess it up. And there's a technique to it and everything else. But on the other side, right, is as a tattoo artist, you also cannot work miracles. So if your kid's just ugly, well, guess what? Your tattoo is going to look fucked up. If the kid's ugly, you know, there's nothing you can do about that shit. If, you know, your girlfriend or whatever, you know, if she's got some fucked up teeth, well, guess what? It's going to look fucked up in the tattoo. That's just the way it is. There's not a whole hell of a lot you can do about that. I got a stepsister this chick's a piece of work anyways, man. And she went out and she got a portrait of one of her kids tattooed on her, and it was, man. I mean, a better tattoo would have been just taking a shit on her arm, you know, that kind of thing. And just totally proud of it, you know. Just, and it's, well, your kid kind of looks fucked up anyway, so I guess it's close, you know. But you see that, you see a lot of that shit. So I dropped another link in the chat room, and I'll be doing this pretty much all night, dropping little links. This is to the Distorted Brainwaves blog. This is the offers from prostitutes. Every once in a while, I'll get solicited by a prostitute. They want to trade what they do for what I do. And what I do takes a lot more skill, and it's a lot more involved than what she does. As a matter of fact, the times that I've actually participated, you know, taken apart with or purchased, you know, favors from a prostitute back in Europe and everything else, they tend to just like to lie on their backs. I mean, fuck it, they're doing this for 8 hours a day. They want to put a lot of effort into it. But this particular chick, for whatever, we were on our way home from Six Flags, so I got the kids in the car and the whole bit. And here's this chick talking to me about a trade, and my girlfriend's in on it, you know, the entire time and everything. We're talking back and forth about the messages and everything. And I decided I needed some, you know, some shit for my blog. So we had her, basically we're negotiating the deal, and she's sending me photos of herself and the goods, right? throughout the evening. And this all ended up on the blog. So all the photos are on the blog. I went ahead and blurred her eyes out so to suggest some sort of anonymity for her. But these are all real photos from an actual prostitute trying to get some tattoo work. I like to talk about stuff. I think I'm fucking funny. So if you want to read it. The pictures are right there. And usually my first response, my first reaction is, okay, I'm a tattoo artist. Even if I wasn't in a relationship, as a tattoo artist, how hard do you think it is for a tattoo artist to get laid? Okay? It's not hard. There are plenty of freewheeling, easy chicks that think it'd be cool as hell to have sex with a guy giving him a tattoo. You know, even
now,
if they're thinking about working the angles. What's that?
Have you actually fallen into the whole trap to where the woman you're dating wants free work from you because she's dating you?
I happen to have been lucky enough to date the same girl my entire tattoo career. And she's not big on tattoos. I have not fallen into that trap. Now, the guy who taught me to tattoo, he was actually with a chick who he taught to tattoo. It was part of their relationship. So not only was she getting work, she learned to tattoo from him. The relationship wasn't bad. It didn't last, but it was just one of those things. I've seen it before, man, where chicks will date a guy just to get the tattoo work. Now, that sounds fucked up, but on the other side of it, here's a guy giving some chick tattoo work, and, you know, he's fucking this girl in the ass every night. And, you know,
exactly,
both,
dude,
of them realize, go ahead.
Oh, sorry, man. Sorry, you go ahead, sorry.
I was going to say, both of them realize the relationship's bullshit. And if either of them thinks anything, anything other than that, well, they're just, you know, fooling themselves.
Yep, exactly. Now, dude, what are some of the worst tattoos you've ever seen?
Well, if we're talking about tattoo ideas, I actually have a blog for that too. And I'll post the link here. Let me see if I can find it. I think I've already posted it once. There it is. These are all tattoos I've actually found on the internet. But I've seen some fucked up tattoos. And that's the other side of this business, is that people show up with messed up tattoos and they want me to fix them. So that's kind of the good thing about, building up a reputation as an artist rather than just some guy that does tattoos, is that I end up fixing what other people fuck up.
You know, man,
But man,
one
I'm
of these days when
go ahead.
someone comes in, asks me to fix their tattoo, and you're looking at it, you're like, there's no way in hell I can fix this. You tell them, you go down to Value, go down to Lowe's, pick up the most expensive belt sander you can find.
And sand it off.
Exactly.
Well, there's only so many things you can do with some tattoos. If you go solid black, then it's there. It's going to be there forever. The only thing you can do with that is try to incorporate it into an even larger tattoo, which you could just be taking. It's like trying to clean up an oil stain, basically. You could just be making it worse. You're just moving it around, spreading it around or whatever. But yeah, there is actually a technique that it's less expensive than laser tattoo removal, and it's not something typically talked about in the tattoo industry because when you go through it, there's always this possibility of leaving scars, and it can take a little while to do. But the tattoo process, basically, if you're putting ink into somebody's skin, the body's going to try to carry the ink out on its own. And when it reaches a point where it can't carry any more ink out, it's going to create a cell wall around that ink and hold it in place. And that's how a tattoo retains its permanency. That's why it lasts. Well, if you can force the body to continue the healing process, it will fade and remove the ink eventually. And the way you would do that, one of the ways you could do that with a tattoo machine, is go over the tattoo just like you're tattooing it, but go over it with something like water. Okay? So that the body. Or I've heard all kinds of things. I've heard lemon juice being used. I've heard a weak bleach solution being used. Anything that you can use to convince the body that it needs to continue to heal that area and pull the foreign bodies away from that will help get rid of the tattoo. But of course, there's the risk of tattooing one spot over and over and over again, even if allowed the proper amount of healing time, is that eventually you could see some scarring develop. But I mean,
Fact,
technically,
man,
yeah, with laser tattoo removal too.
they actually came out with a solution. It's, an actual solution that you can tattoo onto the skin or wherever the tattoo, and actually what it does, because basically the ink is still ink inside the skin. Underneath the skin, it's still a liquid. What the solution does when you're tattooing is it turns it into a solid, which actually causes the body to force it out through the skin. That's the newest way of doing it, actually.
All right, so if you don't want the tattoo to be permanent, you want the body to remove it on its own. Yeah, absolutely. That's the way to go. And I've actually seen some kits sold at Walmart or something too, where it's like, you buy this and it fades the tattoo over time. I'm not sure how good the kits are. The laser tattoo removal is probably the most surefire way and also the most expensive way to remove a tattoo.
Now, isn't it actually more painful than getting the fucking tattoo to begin with?
It is. It can. That's what I understand. And I mean, you're going to pay probably 5 or 6 times what you paid for the tattoo to do it. So the lesson here, kids, is that if you're going to get a tattoo, just make sure you want to have a tattoo. Make sure you're like, this is my tattoo, and I'm going to have this tattoo for life. That's why with all the tattoos I have, I mean, I designed every tattoo I have. So even if somebody else is doing the tattoo, it's one of my designs. So I know this is work that I wanted to get done.
Yep.
So, again, the call-in number is 347-989-1371. Trying to think of fucked up tattoo stories. Working at a tattoo shop, you see all kinds of crazy shit. When I was first learning to tattoo, I had just started actually, I was at the point of my apprenticeship where I was actually taking clients. And what that means is that I'm having some guy come in, he's getting a tattoo, and he's paying basically just enough to cover the materials. And he understands he's getting a tattoo from somebody who's learning to tattoo. And I got into the industry by designing tattoos. So I had a full flash set of tattoo artwork available, you know, with my name on it that was up in some shops and everything. And he happened to pick one of my tattoo designs as the tattoo he wanted to get. It was this this rose with a skull in the center of it and, you know, different roses and different shit going on around it, thorns and vines and everything else. So it was just pretty wicked tattoo. And he decides he wants to get on his chest. Now, here I am just learning how to tattoo. The guy getting the tattoo had never gotten a tattoo before. So his first tattoo, he's getting from an amateur tattoo artist, and he's getting it on his chest, okay? There are only so many places on the body that are really intensely painful. The chest happens to be one of them. The ribs happen to be one of them. And chicks, the insides of your thighs happen to be one of those really intensely painful places to get a tattoo. So this guy's getting a tattoo on his chest. Now, and this guy, he was probably, I don't know, 4'8", 5'1". He wasn't very tall. He probably weighed like 75, 80 pounds. So there's nothing to this guy, okay? He's just a little tiny person, okay? So we get him on a table. We got him laying down. It's the middle of winter here in Austin, Texas. So it's not like it's, you know, it's not like it's super cold or whatever, but it wasn't, you know, warm. But here I am. I got him on the table. I'm tattooing this guy, and he is sweating. I mean, I've seen people sweat before, but I've never seen sweat cool under somebody's body, okay? And you're tattooing on a non-porous surface, so, of course, you know, the liquids have nowhere to go. So it's the sweat is pouring off this guy. It's cold. I'm up by the window, this big picture window and everything else, tattooing. That's where my station was at. So I'm up by the window. I'm cold, and he's sweating his ass off getting this tattoo in his chest, okay? He gets halfway through the line work, all right? And this had nothing to do with my technique. Yeah, I've learned enough since then to know that I did nothing wrong with this guy. It's just that it was just so incredibly painful for him. He got through halfway through the line work on this chest tattoo and couldn't take it anymore. Okay? And that was it. As far as I know, to this day, as far as I know, that guy still has half a tattoo on his chest. Okay? And the upside of this guy comes back to me 2 weeks later. He doesn't want to finish the chest tattoo, but he gets a tattoo on his hand from me. Okay? It's like, yeah, I don't know what the point of that was. He took the hand tattoo, all right. So it was all about his pain threshold and the chest tattoo. It freaked me out. But I chuckle about it every time I think about it. Like, I wonder, you know, if this guy, he takes his shirt off at the beach or whatever, people go, oh, what's up with that? What's with the half the tattoo? Does he tell people that's how he wanted it, or does he actually tell the story about how he couldn't take it? It was just too much.
Oh, no, dude. You always go for the whole macho approach if there's one available to you. You never, ever admit to the bitch card, ever. Now, dude, what are some of the worst infections you've ever seen?
Worst infections I've ever seen. Luckily, I haven't seen a lot of infections. Where I worked, when I was working at a shop, we were very, you know, concerned about cross-contamination and, you know, sterilization and everything. So the things I've seen more often than not have to do with people not taking care of their tattoo rather than something like, you know, staph or something like that. A friend of mine did get some work done at another shop. And this guy, there's more to the story, though. He is paralyzed from the waist down, so he cruises around in a wheelchair. And he had gotten some tattoo work on his arm. So he's got all kinds of medical issues already. And I understand his arm got really messed up, you know, from, I don't know if it was from the open wound, you know, him being close to the ground, his own medical issues and things like that. So he got pretty messed up. I've seen some pussy tattoos. You know, most of the tattoos, the worst thing I've probably seen from my own work is a tattoo heal really hard. And when a tattoo heals really hard, it scabs up really, really bad, like a ridiculous scab on top of it. And usually when that scab falls off, there's not going to be anything left of the tattoo underneath it. That's pretty much the worst I've actually seen for my own work. I haven't seen anything really, really crazy, even, you know, looking around for it. I think the worst infection I've ever seen was in basic training in the Army, the video they show you about sexually transmitted diseases. I mean, that will put you off your being in the mess hall for a day or two. It's pretty bad.
I've definitely seen online and shit like that some really messed up things, actually. They're just tattoos that have gone awry. This one kid on his forearm, he had, you know, that classic Nintendo?
Yeah.
He had the classic Nintendo pad. Well, joystick, whatever the fuck you want to call it, goddamn thing on his forearm. And you could see to where the actual skin had bubbled up, it turned yellow and green. Really, I mean, don't get me wrong, it really made it look like a cool effect until you realize that, holy fuck, that's a goddamn infection.
Well,
it made the controller look really kind of like it's been aged, really well, you know? But no, that was a damned infection.
Wow. All kinds of things can go wrong with a tattoo. And a lot of it, I mean, you just have to know your tattoo artist and know he's going to take care of you and everything else. Like, I use certain inks, and those are the only inks I will use because those are the only inks I trust. You can have different things in an ink because there's no FDA standards as far as what goes into an ink. And the tattoo industry has fought very hard to keep it that way. They want to be self-regulated. They want the consumer to regulate, what gets used and what doesn't get used. They don't want to have the FDA come in and regulate what type of, what they can put in their ink, because that will cause tattoo prices to go up even higher. It may be more expensive to get a tattoo. So people make ink out of all kinds of shit. I mean, jailhouse tattoos. I hear about people, mixing, rubbing alcohol and burnt paper and, ink from pens. That's why you see some of these jailhouse tattoos that they're supposed to be black, but they're green or blue or some fucked up color or whatever. Yeah, there's all kinds of fucked up shit that you can do. And then if you're dealing with a scratcher, if you're dealing with somebody that doesn't know what they're doing, they've had no real training, they've never dealt with, it took an A classes or courses on bloodborne pathogens or cross-contamination. I mean, this guy, he might be reusing needles. So, and this is how one guy explained it to me. If you're tattooing somebody and you prick them, you're pricking them, that's what you're doing, tattoo needle, you're pricking them, and you accidentally prick yourself, you basically just had sex with him and every person he's ever had sex with.
Oh, that's a great idea, isn't it?
Right. If that's going to put you off of, you're going to be very careful with that idea in your head while you're tattooing. You don't want to run that risk. But there's some people that, they'll reuse their needles. They reuse their tubes, their disposable tubes. They'll wash them in the dishwasher and think that's enough to get them clean. They keep it. I've seen dudes carrying their tattoo machines around their pockets. So you got this machine, it's used to basically perform minor surgery on people, and you're walking around with it in your pocket. You used to come into a tattoo shop, he pulled the machine out of his pocket, it was clearly fucking filthy, it clearly hasn't been washed, and he was surprised when we would put on gloves to look at his machine. Well, what's with that? I was like, dude, this machine's filthy, you barely know where this thing's been. I just saw you pull it out of your pocket. I don't know where you've been, dude, I'm not touching this thing. Until it's been cleaned. So all kinds of things can go wrong with a tattoo. We got a caller on the line. Erythrin? Did I say that right?
Yes, you did. Sarah. Brimson. But, you were talking about inks, and that reminded me of a funny story. A friend of mine, John Howie, he's a professional tattoo artist, he keeps a very clean shop and everything, but one of the people who worked with him was a vegan, and lots of inks, like especially black inks, if I'm remembering this correctly, have, animal products in them, charcoal, I believe. So he's a vegan, and he's talking about constantly about how he never, ever, ever falters on being a vegan. And I'm sitting there and I just feel so awkward. He's got to know, right? And John looks at me like, just do it. Just tell him. And I'm like, you know that the ink you're using has animals in it, right? And it, like, destroyed his world. He couldn't handle it. He couldn't handle it. And, like, he just didn't know. And I'm like, how do you not know? How didn't you know?
Wow. Wow. Especially if he's using some high-grade quality Japanese black outlining ink. Yeah, there's all kinds of animal products in that. So, wow. Well, I've always considered vegans kind of pretentious and hypocritical anyways. But, you know, all the offense of the world to the vegans out there who are listening, I always found it odd that you were so concerned about animal rights and had no concerns whatsoever about vegetable rights. I mean, the exact same things that you say about animals, about chickens being kept in small cages, being forced to reproduce, having their bodies distorted for the purpose of, you know, just creating feed animals. Well, you say the same thing about corn. Corn doesn't naturally grow that way. Their organs all distorted. Their sex organs all huge, you know, packed in the fields one by them by another perfect little rows. That's not the natural condition for corn. So, you know, if you're going to be concerned about, you know, the living conditions of one organism, be consistent and be concerned about all organisms. So, Etherin just dropped off the line. All right, cool. Thanks for calling in.
You just equated corn to a fucking animal. What the fuck's the matter with you?
What do you mean? Explain to me the difference.
One, you can generally tell it's feeling pain. The other one's just fucking yummy.
Oh, just because you lack the sensitivity and empathy to recognize when a plant is suffering does not mean that the plant is not suffering.
Hey, fucker. No. You lack the empathy, too. Don't give me that shit.
Oh, no, you're totally right. I give a shit. I'll eat the animal. I'll eat the fur. Now, I have no problems. I didn't say I was hypocritical. I said if you're going to be a vegan, if you're going to be all, oh, the poor animal, well, you know what? Be consistent. Be that way with every organism you deal with. A living thing is a living thing.
You know, man,
that's your argument.
Man, I actually ran into a vegan one time who loved Jell-O. Loved the fuck out of Jell-O. Yeah, they didn't realize that Jell-O had an animal bone product in it. Gelatin's
right.
Actually made from animal bone.
Yeah. Horse foods. Yeah. So I have a story. The guy who was teaching me how to tattoo, he told me this story about how he had a guy come in to get a tattoo, and this was some big burly dude. He was talking about, because you never know what's going to happen with somebody when they come in to get a tattoo. It doesn't matter how big they are, how small they are. Everybody reacts to pain differently. And there's no amount of bodybuilding you can do to make yourself more tough in dealing with pain. The only way you learn to deal with pain is through experience. So you either suffer some pain and you learn how to deal with it or you don't. So this guy comes in. He's a bodybuilder. He's all hard-ass and everything else. He's coming in to get his first tattoo. And
he's
going to
be
a
bitch.
Oh, it's worse. He's being a dick. That's the other thing, okay? He's like, I just want to get the tattoo and everything else, and, you know, it's going to look so hard ass. My girlfriend, you know, so pumped up and everything else. All those pussies is, you know, school, blah, blah, you know. Just give him the whole fucking, just real, a lot of attitude about how tough and how hardcore he was. So you can do a tattoo in a lot of different ways. And it can be a very gentle process, where you do as much as you possibly can to make sure you cause as little pain as possible, because the needle does all the work. You do not have to bear down on the skin to do the tattoo. Or you can bear down on that tattoo machine to that needle with the excuse that, well, you're making sure that it stays. You don't want to have to deal with, you know, needing a touch-up, all right? So he starts digging into this guy, okay? And that's the other thing. Whenever somebody talks about tattoos, one of my big things is when somebody goes, I want to get it tattooed on my skin. I want to get a tattoo on me. No, you're not getting it on you. You're getting it put in you, okay?
Yep.
So he's digging into this dude, right? And this guy, they start going. He's not more than 10 minutes into it. This guy is already, all the blood is out of his face, okay? Just you know, he's like, are you kind of sitting in the chair, kind of a little shaky, kind of, you know, doing a little, you know, sort of a little spin thing. And he's like, hey, man, are you okay? You don't look so good. And he's like, no, man, just keep going. I can take it and everything else, right? Keeps tattooing him, right? He keeps tattooing him. And the guy's like, oh, you know, I feel kind of weird, man. Can we take a break? And the guy teaching me tattoo goes, no, man, we're almost done. You can just take this. You're a tough guy, right? You can take this. You're a bodybuilder. Yeah, man, I could take it. Keeps tattooing on him and everything else. Just the line work. Hasn't even gotten into coloring and everything else. The guy just explodes. Just throws up all over himself, all right? He tried to hold it back. He didn't get anywhere but on himself. He throws up on himself, falls out of the chair, and passes out. Okay?
He's dude, that would have been heard this dude cried. How dare you, Jason? Fuck.
His girlfriend walks in not 2 minutes later and says, what happened? And the guy, I don't want to use his name because I don't want it to get out there, right? But the guy, he said he was a tough guy and he could take the tattoo. Apparently not. Is this what you're calling a man these days? Like that, right? She came back later on that night to talk to the tattoo artist about going out.
Nice.
Yeah. Totally did not impress her at all. Yeah, yeah. Carrying him out, covered in vomit, carrying him out of the shop and everything else. Yeah, yeah. And the awesome thing, I guess, is that the guy didn't get his money back either. Because that's the way it works.
Oh, I wouldn't get money back either. Are you kidding me?
Right. Right. You come in, you come in to get a tattoo in most tattoo shops. They set up for that tattoo. They start doing some work on you. They put a couple lines on you. You pay $250 for your tattoo, and you don't get the tattoo. That's not the tattoo artist's problem. And a lot of tattoo shops would go, okay.
I was thinking that some tattoo artists should really consider charging the person who ends up just simply not showing up for their tattoo. I don't think that it's fair for someone to, make the appointment. It's, basically waste, the artist's time. And the guy's probably already setting up for the tattoo and the person doesn't fucking show. Where's the logic in that?
Well, there's nothing you can really do about that other than getting a deposit. And if you start trying to take a deposit on tattoo appointments, you won't get any appointments. We've tried it. When I worked at the shop, we did try that. That, if you're going to, especially if you're talking about a big tattoo, so you've got a lot of drawing time into it. You got the stencil you're making by hand. You get the setup and everything else, and you don't show up for the appointment. That can be a problem. Really, all you can do as a tattoo artist is just that person will never get a tattoo from you. And that's just the way it works. Usually, if somebody comes in and talks to me about a tattoo, I usually tell them that if I'm drawing it, if it's a custom design, then there's a drawing fee. And the drawing fee comes off the price of the tattoo, but that's my way of getting a deposit, is that if they want to see some artwork from me, if they want to see artwork from me, if I'm going to sit down and draw something, well, they need to pay me for my time, understanding that if they don't get the tattoo, they don't get the drawing fee back. As a matter of fact, on the website, creativeoddystudios.com, in the tattoo section and on the commission section, you'll see the whole rigmarole about, what's expected with the commission and how that works. So, yeah, that's really the only thing you can do. So let's see, 347-989-1371. If anybody wants to call in, tell us about their tattoo experiences. I can talk about some of the people that are actually in the chat room who've gotten tattoos. Lehi got a couple of tattoos for me, and he's a man, Lehi. He took it like a champ, basically. Got his ankle tattooed, which that can be no fun, man. Getting your ankles tattooed, the skin is really thin. The needle's basically just bouncing off the bone in your ankles, man, and he took it like a champ. You twitch a little bit. The body's going to naturally spasm everything else, but, yeah. So he took some pain and got through those tattoos. They weren't little tattoos either. So Lehi's got some work done. That's an entropic momentum there. Cassandra Harris. Got her chest tattooed. Again, guy or girl, it's not pleasant. And you would think that with a woman, there's a little bit more meat on the chest. Well, where Cassandra's tattoos happen to be at, she's a woman. Still, it was right against her chest and everything else. And she took it easy. She got through that tattoo. Awesome. So that was great. It's always cool when you get somebody that, you know, takes a tattoo and appreciate it. I had a guy. We actually had a bunch of guys that were getting tattoos from me at one time. I don't know what their deal was. If they were I don't know if they were Chinese or Korean. They all went to school together. They all worked at the same place. It was five or six of them, and it seemed like every other weekend they were up in my studio and all hanging out with their girlfriends and everything else. You know, they're hanging out at my place. So that was the thing to do on Sunday morning or Saturday morning was come over to Jason's and get some tattoo work. And it got a little ridiculous. It got a little out of hand. But all these guys are getting different tattoos, all these different – and, you know, of course, you know, a bunch of men together, you know, talking shit about, you know, the pain and everything else. And a lot of them, they let them know it hurt. It hurt. This one dude got a tattoo on his chest. The entire time he's getting the tattoo, the guy did not move. His rate of breathing did not change. It was probably the most serene tattoo experience I've ever had because all I had to do is just lay the tattoo on him. I didn't have to adjust for a twitch or anything. He just took it. And he earned every person's respect in that room that day. So it was badass. I forget the guy's name, but, you know, kudos to him for taking the tattoo like a champ.
That's
now, Andy
crazy.
Was the guy. My girlfriend's saying Andy. It was one of Andy's friends. Andy got the tiger on his shoulder with the flame thing going on around it. And then on the other side of things, it's always fun when you got a guy who, you know, loves tattoos, all right, but not a big fan of pain. Who is a big fan of pain? You know, there's some people out there, I know, but I date a lot of them. But, you know, I got a friend who he has more tattoos for me than anybody else in the world right now. A lot of his work is my work. And he's got tattoos on his chest. He's got tattoos on his ribs. He's got the back of the calf tattooed. And not little bullshit tattoos. Because this guy, I've known this guy long enough that when he gets work for free. He will never, as long as he knows me, he will never have to pay for a tattoo.
Yeah, it was the friend telling me about there before Christmas there.
Yeah. So he's got some badass work on him. But yeah, every time it's like he's complaining so much about how it hurts. And, you know, I'm trying everything I can do to lighten up and everything, you know, to make sure that it doesn't hurt him. And he complains so much about how it hurts, but he's always talking about his next tattoo. So, like I said, it can go either way. And the dude's not a little dude. I mean, he's a big dude. This guy's a kung fu fighter and everything, you know. He's been in some fights. He's been a bouncer. He's actually talking about being a bouncer again. So, you know, he's not unfamiliar with being in bad situations, but... just getting a tattoo, a little rough for him.
Now,
so,
what would you recommend for someone wanting to get into the industry and the field itself?
What's that?
What would you recommend to someone who wanted to get into the field itself?
If somebody wanted to get into the tattoo industry, my recommendations would be, first of all, get familiar with the artwork. There's a difference between tattoo art and regular art. Tattoo artwork takes into account that the design is meant to go into the skin, that this tattoo is going to change and fade and morph, basically, over time. So that's something that you have to take into account with the type of artwork that you're going to be tattooing. It's one of the things I have to learn even designing tattoos. I had to figure out that some of my designs, they were really cool designs, but in time, they weren't going to make for good tattoos. And I talk about this. I'm posting another blog in the chat room. This just takes you to the main blog where all the actual tattoo stuff, the tattoo industry related stuff. That's where I blog about it there. And you'll find an article about tattoo designs. So study tattoo design. Get familiar with what makes good tattoo artwork. The other thing is to develop a professional mindset about your artwork. When I worked at a shop, when I got my apprenticeship, what won me my apprenticeship is that when I walked in with my tattoo flash, the tattoo flash was already formatted to industry standard. It was 11x14. My tattoo flash already has the line work design separate from the color flash. The tattoo flash is the artwork you see on the walls when you walk into a tattoo shop.
Yeah.
And when you walk into the tattoo shop, you see the color version on the wall. Well, the tattoo artist needs also the line work version. Okay, so it's just the outlines, and you know that helps him. So if you have that when you're selling your flash, that's a big plus. when I worked at the shop, we had all kinds of people come in. They had no tattoo experience whatsoever, which is something that you want often in an apprentice. So you don't want them to really be out there tattooing anybody willy-nilly. So it's weird about the experiences thing. I'll talk about that here in a minute. But the artwork, we had people walk in with lined notebooks of just, you know, heavy metal artwork, basically. They're, you know, they listened to Iron Maiden and looked at those, you know, looked those album covers all their lives. And it's cool artwork and everything. You know, I love Eddie and everything. I've loved it since I was a kid. But, you know, it's a lot of that pen and ink stuff that you'd be doing in your notebook trying to mimic that style of art. It just doesn't translate well into tattoos. And with tattoo machines, with the technology we have now, you can tattoo just about anything. I mean, you've got these people that are replicating works of fine art, and the tattoos themselves are no bigger than a quarter. So you got a picture of Mona Lisa with all the fine detail and everything else, and the tattoo is no bigger than a quarter. The problem with that kind of tattoo is that after a while, it's going to blur, okay? So that's because that's just what a tattoo does. So all that fine detail is going to kind of fade away. But so understand what's involved in tattoo work. Treat your business as a tattoo artist as professionally as you possibly can, and then start hanging out at tattoo shops and going to tattoo conventions. Start talking to people. Start talking to tattoo artists. Even if they tell you they're not taking an apprenticeship, and go and don't visit just one tattoo shop just because it's around the corner. Get out and see a bunch of different tattoo shops. Talk to different tattoo artists. Some will talk to you and some won't. So, you know, you got to get out and familiarize yourself with the industry itself, and then just be patient and persistent. You want the apprenticeship. My recommendation is definitely get an apprenticeship. You'll have to pay for it. If you're a guy, you're going to pay more than if you're a girl. But get yourself an apprenticeship. You can learn to tattoo without an apprenticeship. It's possible. It's just like, you know, like anything else. You can learn how to do it, but having somebody teach you how to do it and teach you how to do it right means that the less of a risk to yourself and others, that it's going to go faster, that you're going to benefit from this experience rather than basically having to try to rebuild the wheel on your own. Those are probably the things I would recommend. Read some books, check out some videos, and just get your head really into the game, basically.
Yeah, definitely been watching the videos, checking out different sites, forums for tattooing, things like that, like last, I'd say probably 2 years now, actually, around that anyways.
Well, I guess the other thing I would recommend to somebody who's aspiring to become a tattoo artist, get a few tattoos. Because you can watch videos of somebody doing it. Yeah, you can watch some videos of somebody getting a tattoo. That's going to show you some things. You can be at a convention and watch people getting tattoos. You can be right there seeing it done. But it's a different level of understanding when you're in the chair watching as the guy tattoos your arm. You are right there. So you can see exactly what it is he's doing, exactly what's going on. And if you've already paid the guy for a tattoo and he's doing his thing and if you have questions, he's more likely to answer those questions, whereas if you're just some guy, you know, across the counter from him, he's going to be less likely to answer those questions because those are things he would normally charge an apprentice to find out.
Right.
So, let's see. I see some crazy shit with tattoos and women. Women have a weird kind of nervous system. I'm sure guys are wired in a similar manner as far as their nervous systems are concerned. But like back tattoos, those stamp tramp tattoos for women, tramp stamp tattoos. Those tattoos for women are either excruciatingly painful because it's right there on the spine, it's the lower back. It's a rough tattoo for a woman. Or it's extremely pleasurable for a woman, okay? I've heard it go both ways. Women who have had an orgasm while getting a lower back tattoo. And the interesting thing about this is that I've been in the shop when both situations have occurred. A woman's in a lot of pain, and a woman's having an orgasm. And, you know, it sounds exactly the same.
So, now, what do you think some of the more pretentious spots that people get tattooed are?
Pretentious?
Yeah.
Like, what do you mean?
Side of the neck, face, things like that.
Oh, you mean like, okay, so what tattoos, basically, they're getting a tattoo there basically tell the world they're an asshole?
Yeah.
Is that what you mean?
Yeah, basically.
A neck tattoo. Yeah, that's usually a good sign that you've given up on being a member of regular society. Which, you know, if you're going to get a neck tattoo, make sure you're working in an industry where that kind of thing is accepted. Or make sure that you're willing to suffer whatever social ramifications there are for getting a neck tattoo. I'm all for being a rebel and everything else, and I'm all down with that. But there's some decisions you might regret. Face tattoos, that's just ridiculous. While I was learning, again, another apprentice story, while I was learning to tattoo, the guy who was teaching me how to tattoo, we had a guy come in one night, drunk off his ass, wanted a scorpion tattoo on his face, okay, like the tail going around the outer orbit of his eye and then the scorpion itself on his cheek, okay? He's drunk. He's totally smashed, okay? And it could have been just throw the guy out, just roll the bum out, basically. That's what could have happened.
Well, dude, isn't it basically almost illegal in most states to actually tattoo someone who's intoxicated?
I haven't heard of it being necessarily illegal. I'm not familiar with the laws for every state. I know here in Texas it's not illegal to tattoo somebody who's intoxicated. I know that in Indiana it's not illegal to tattoo somebody who's intoxicated. There are other issues, other potential problems. You have to have a person getting a tattoo sign a waiver saying that they understand they're getting a tattoo and blah, blah, blah. So as long as you have that signature, it doesn't matter if they were drunk or not. Okay?
In fact, man, it's even illegal to do it the way you're doing it out of your home, actually, in a lot of the northern states that I've actually been to. It's illegal to actually tattoo out of your home. Whether or not you have the studio set up or not, it's still illegal by health standards.
Yes, this is my means of my way of transgressing is I tattoo what in a manner that is technically not on the up and up. Now, on the other side of that though, it applies in the same way that a beautician's industry applies that standard that you can't legally charge money for a tattoo. And do a tattoo out of the home. That you can't advertise yourself as a tattoo business out of your home, okay? But if you're tattooing family and friends, and they're giving you a little bit of money as a tip, or they're giving you items for your tattoo work in trade, the state kind of turns a blind eye to that kind of transaction.
Yes, frankly, man, I don't see anything wrong tattooing out of your home as long as it's clean, sanitary, and there are actually no issues with infection. All the time
right,
you hear about people who basically laid on someone's fucking table and got a tattoo and got an infection. Like, why did I get an infection? Durr. You know what
right.
I mean?
Well, see, the big thing for the industry is hepatitis C and other bloodborne pathogens are the things that you're trying to avoid. And if you're getting a tattoo out of a home, unless the tattoo artist is very cognizant of how those things are transmitted, there's a good chance that you're going to that could be if you get somebody with Hep C come in and he lays on your kitchen table and gets a tattoo. Well, if you don't have Mattaside to clean that table up with, if you don't use some sort of barrier between the body and the actual table, the next person that gets a tattoo could get sick from that tattoo. And since it's not a regulated situation, well then the state can't come in and control what's going on there. So that's the reason for that. But the biggest danger of somebody getting a tattoo out of somebody's house is that they get a fucked up tattoo, which happens a lot. And if you think about it, and here's the thing, you know, 20 years ago, 30 years ago, tattooing was pretty much illegal everywhere except for a few states. So what was going on in the states where it was illegal? Well, people were tattooing out of the garages. They were tattooing out of the kitchens.
Yeah.
A lot of the old school tattoo artists, you know, the people, you know, Ed Hardy and Sailor Jerry and all these, you know, all these old school artists that are out there, where did they learn to tattoo? Back of somebody's garage, the back of somebody's kitchen, that kind of thing. So it's almost a hypocritical standard. It's necessary to have that health standard, but I mean it's almost trying to regulate sex for the purpose of controlling disease. You know, it's not feasible to accomplish. So basically, if you're going to get a tattoo out of somebody's house, you know. Be cognizant of, you know, what's going on. Make sure the person is, you know, got a clean studio, they're professional, that they're taking care of you. You know, just don't go into some knucklehead's house and get a tattoo at their kitchen table. You know, make sure they know what the hell they're doing.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
But So this guy, as far as getting drunk, tattoo studios will tell drunks that it is illegal to tattoo somebody who's intoxicated, just to get them out of the shop. Okay, because you don't want. First of all, you don't want that reputation as a tattoo studio that you tattoo people who are clearly drunk. All right. Now you might come into my shop dead sober. You've had a drink. All right. So you come into my shop and you're going to get a tattoo, and you sign off. You sign off on the forms and everything else, and you make mention in the shop. Yeah, I just came here from the bar, had a drink to calm my nerves and everything else that I haven't been drinking. Really, blah blah blah. You get your tattoo. After having the tattoo for a week, you decide you have tattoo buyer's regret. You decide that you don't like the tattoo. You come in and we tell you, well, you know what? It's exactly, you know, there's nothing we can do. You got a tattoo. It's permanent. That's the reason it's, you know, it's called a tattoo or whatever. So you decide, you know what? I'm going to go ahead and sue you guys, and I'm going to tell people, hey, I had been drinking. I was at the bar and everything else. I was drunk when I came in here. So that's why usually a tattoo studio does not even have to mess with that. We'll tell a person, if you've been drinking, we can't tattoo you legally.
Now, isn't just also the biggest issue is the fact that you end up bleeding more while intoxicated as well, so the ink doesn't really stay in or go in as well?
The alcohol is not going to thin your blood until almost 24 hours after you've consumed it.
Oh, okay.
So, again, that's another myth that tattoo studios tell people who come in from drinking. You know, it starts to work after a few hours. You'll start to see some blood thinning, but your blood doesn't really thin until, you know, you've had time to actually process the alcohol. So, it's, again, just to keep people from coming in because they're worried about bleeding too much, okay? The tattoo needle is barely going into your skin, okay? You should hardly bleed at all, basically. Any blood that does show up is blood plasma. It's the watery part of the blood. So, yeah, you should barely bleed at all. Drunk or not, you should barely bleed. So that's another way to discourage people, though, from drinking before they get a tattoo and being an asshole about it later on. Now, if you've been drinking the night before and you come to get a tattoo from me, I can tell because you'll be a little bit more runny than you would be if you not drank the night before. But yeah, man. So we're at the last some change for the show. We pretty much run this subject in the ground. There's a few other stories I could tell, but check out the blogs posted in the chat room. You can read pretty much a lot of the stories, a lot of things we talked about tonight. You got anything else? Yeah.
No, man. I'm all good, dude. Let's sit back and have a couple of drinks and relax.
All right, man. Well, I think we're talking about Satanism next Tuesday. So tune in for our thoughts on Satanism and, I don't know, what's going on in Satanism today. So we're out. Thanks for listening.
All right, man. Later.
Later.